That's our new theme song. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have an almost 3-year-old and an 8-month-old.
Hey, my name is Jeff. I have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old that I took to see Infinity War. And
bold choice.
It was a big choice as a dad. Everyone knows Infinity War. If you don't, and living under a rock, it's basically a whole bunch of fighting with comic book characters. So
just fighting the movie.
Yeah. So it was kind of a discussion with my wife, and just seeing if my 8-year-old is ready to see something like that. So we made the decision to go see it, knowing that, you know, it's not too bad. There's no blood in it or anything, but there is a lot of violence. So.
Now, preface, had he ever been taken to another superhero movie?
No. So ooh. He's, okay, yeah.
That's
he's
a heck seen... of... So he understands the plot perfectly.
Oh, yeah, well, he has no problem understanding the plot because he reads all about it. So, like, reading is fine. He doesn't know about the movies, and I've kind of talked him through it. But yeah, hasn't seen anything. So this okay. is a movie just to get into when they're all at war. Why not? So I take him to the theater, and it's just me, we leave our youngest at home. But just me and him, I get into the theater, I sit him down, we get our popcorn, we're ready for the trailers to start. And I look over and I'm like, okay, you might hear a lot of words in this, like swear words, you're not allowed to repeat them, thinking that, you know, there's some minor ones mm-hmm. and there's a lot of violence. So, you know, again, not to repeat that on the playground, at home, anything. You're not to tell your younger brother that you saw this movie, all that stuff. And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm like,
I'm so ready.
So, and then lights dim and the first trailer up is Deadpool.
Oh God.
I'm like, oh God, you're going to learn a lot more.
He's putting this popcorn basket right on his head. Like, no, you can't see this. You're not ready.
I did not expect that at all. I'm like, you're going to learn a lot more than just a few words. So like,
how tame was the trailer?
It was not tame, which I was surprised at. Like, Infinity War, I think, is PG-13, if I wasn't...
Yeah.
I think it's PG-13. Definitely. This trailer was maybe on the cusp of rated R.
Oh, like, my goodness.
It was, like, swear words, obviously, left, right, and center. And I'm like, oh, well,
whoa, this... Hold on. There's swear words in the trailer?
Oh, yeah. F-bombs everywhere, so...
Okay, now that's not fair. That's not cool.
This is my moment, Trevor. This is like I prepared him for the movie, and then this trailer comes out of left field and just ruins it.
You sit there with your hands up like, come on.
I almost so did that. I tried, and well, that's, again, no, don't repeat these words.
No earmuffs? Like,
nope. And you know, like, again, Infinity War, no guns, really. It's all like swords, superpowers, whatever. Deadpool, 2 handguns and bullets flying everywhere. So
the violence isn't even the issue. It's the tone of the violence, which is like borderline gross, and then which I like. I mean, it's a good movie.
Yeah,
from a kid perspective. Yeah, but that level and type of violence and the swear words and the innuendos, like, man, I cannot believe there's a trailer with swear words. I would never have thought that.
Me either, because the trailer after it was Incredibles 2. I'm like, you guys.
it's a mixed bag you got there, fellas.
Not playing nice. You go from super realism to super cartoony. So, yes. Warning to dads out there. I knew there would be trailers, but always maybe just have that conversation beforehand. You don't know what's going to pop up.
There is no, you had the conversation. You had the appropriate one. And then you were throwing the curveball of all curveballs.
Yeah, as far as it was a different outing. So no, he made it through, and he hasn't repeated the words as of yet. But again, taking him to super popular.
As soon as your smaller one starts saying it, you know he's repeating it when you're not there.
Yes.
Guess what I heard?
I don't want that day to come. No. But it was a fun time with him, and again. He wanted to see the most popular movie out there, so we did it up. Just a warning.
But they keep the idea going of popular things with kids swearing and some violence. How we would be remiss not to talk about Fortnite. Gaming dads, if you in any way have paid attention to gaming, if you have any kid that is somewhat towards gaming age, you know about Fortnite. Every third post seems to be about this thing. Every fourth article seems to be about it.
Yeah. Yep.
We put this show together. This one is going to be a little bit out of format from what we usually do, but we really wanted to have this discussion as gaming dads, specifically of just quickly, in many ways, what Fortnite is, just to clarify in case there is any ambiguity. And it took us some research. I mean, Jeff, you and I had to like actually really look into it. It's like, how does this thing truly work?
Yeah, confusing.
And then, yeah, some of the bigger dad conversations around, what is it with your kids? Like, can you trust your kids into this game? Pitfalls, downfalls, violence levels, all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, let's take it down to basics. This thing is just enormous. I think, Jeff, you have some of the numbers surrounding it.
Just to give a context to this game and how much of a juggernaut it is in the gaming landscape, you got roughly 40 to 60 million players happening, playing this thing, 3 million concurrently, which is a fair chunk of online gaming happening at any time.
That number alone was the one, 3 million at the same time.
A lot of people are playing this game, and this game is making a lot of money. So just going by the numbers again, February revenue is over 100 million. March is doubling that, over 200 million. And April, you got 300 million. So it's not going anywhere. It's growing.
That is just that's the thing. It would have been impressive enough if it was sticking around 100 million. But 300 million taken in a single month of this year.
Skyrocketing. It's not plateauing. It's just going up and up and up. So it's a big game out there, and it's earning a lot of money for a lot of people. If you break it down, it's probably $1 million a day on mobile. So that alone is just mobile players. You got all this money coming into this game.
And that should be noted too. That is just iOS, and that is still on an invite-only basis. Pretty easy to get an invite, but it's still not widely, widely available. So what is Fortnite?
That's a game. Good question.
No, but the game itself, and again, for any dads who know it, we're just going to rip through this quick to be able to just set a baseline. So what's interesting is it's actually two main games. It's player versus player, which they call Battle Royale, and player versus environment, which is much like the Left 4 Dead. Now, that was kind of the initial intent, and they kind of switched to Battle Royale, and that's really the one that we'll focus on. So the one that everyone's talking about is the Battle Royale part of Fortnite, which from here on out we'll just call Fortnite. This is a massive deathmatch with 100 other players, and there's only one winner. So that alone, from a gaming context, if you think back to your old days, you versus four people, versus eight people, 100 people at the same time.
I know. I'm thinking Counter-Strike, where it was maybe 16, 30, and now you're up against 100 that are much better than you.
Oh, so much better. 30 seem like a lot.
Yeah.
So you're placed into this map against 100 other people. The map continues to shrink, which promotes a fast type of gameplay. So you can imagine this circle that they call the storm that continues to shrink and get smaller and smaller. So you can't be a straggler that just kind of camps out on the side. You have to keep moving. And eventually, it is less than 10 meters across. So you're going to be shooting at each other. So that it's really great that way, as far as how they have kept everything moving. So each match involves building entire towers or walls, staircases, traps, anything and everything to defend and reach new locations on the map.
Which is, that's a cool mechanic to have in a game like this, but it seems super stressful when you got the walls of the storm closing in and you're trying to build your way out of it. It just seems like it's...
On the speed at which is required to build is just unbelievable.
It's mind-boggling what people can do. So
So the main modes that you're looking at here, you have, if you want to just go on your own, so lone wolf, you're looking at 1 versus 99.
Why?
everybody against everybody. Last man standing. There's duos. So that's 50 teams of two. So just you and a buddy or a random playing against everybody else. And then you have squads. So you can have teams of four, again, friends or people to just match you with. Now I'll say, so quick sidebar about some of the new dad research. So Jeff, you and I, to prepare for this,
right? Yes.
Played a couple yep. matches together. So we did a duo.
Yeah, we did.
And it was horrible.
to say the least, yes, it was poor performance.
No, so what was great too is like, so I'd played a couple solo matches to kind of get my feet wet and understand it. I think I started our duo match by saying, I don't like this game.
Right, yeah.
But somehow playing with another dad or just anybody in general really cut the tension and yeah. the even seriousness of it. Because it's really, at that point, you're joking, you're having voice chat with whoever's on your team. So you're able to kind of work together, which is kind of fun, but you're joking and it really does take some of the stress out of it.
Yeah, I agree. Like having a lone wolf kind of aspect to it, it's I think it's more tension out there than just hopping around joking with somebody else.
We got our feet wet a little bit. We got a little bit of our legs underneath of us. And eventually we actually placed second out of all the 50 teams.
Yeah.
The new dads got second place. And even better still is that we killed one of the people on the last team. So the two of us against one guy and we died terribly, but I mean, it's still, it was great. It was pretty straightforward. In many ways, it highlights the point that as skill-based as this game is, and you watch some of the top players, it is ridiculous how talented some of these people are.
Yeah.
However, there's just still enough, once you get enough of a grounding in the mechanics, it's possible. You could still kind of play. You could probably still pull off a win. So at that point, it started to unfurl a little bit and it started to become a little bit more fun. Like, Jeff, I don't know if you kind of had the same experience with it starting to become fun, or do you still kind of turned against it?
No, I think it did become fun. And I think, again, the duo part played a lot in that. But it, again, once you get your feet wet and you're going around and you know where to go on the map, that's mm-hmm. another thing, is learning the map and learning what you need to go get, where the weapons are, and playing with that aspect. I think you have that knowledge and you're not starting from zero against guys that know where everything is and, you know, they're shooting from you across the map. So, yeah, I was starting to have fun and I, again, like you, didn't like this game to begin with. So it's grown on me.
That's a really great point. I think if your kid wants to play it or your kid is playing it, I suggest you play it. Like, you should really sample it. It's a free game. Hop in and just try to, so you can understand where your kid is coming from when they do play it, and just to partake in the social phenomenon that is this game.
Yeah.
Going into though, I'll recommend this. Just really set aside your expectation as far as a first-person shooter. This is not a first-person shooter.
No.
And I don't mean like precisely because it's not like in first-person camera, it's third-person. More just in the sense that if you're thinking of any other type of deathmatch, Quake, GoldenEye, it is not that.
No.
This is a different beast because of the building and everything else.
Yeah. No, I agree. And this game is, it's constantly evolving that way too. The developer is always looking at new ways to reinvent the game. They've come up with seasons. They've changed the map a little bit. They've added mysteries. They're always listening to the community and what they can improve in the game mechanics. You know, little tweaks from, you know, the jump is a little bit floaty to weapons that come in. They've even added other things like jetpacks and all sorts of things that are kind of neat aspects to the game. At one point with Infinity War, they added Thanos as a special character. So stuff like that.
To tie that back.
You know, they're playing on the trend too. They're not being static with it. They're being very fluid and listening to the community, which is great to have. It's that transparency that this company needs. It feels like you can almost talk to them and then the game changes with it. So that's neat to see too. Like, not many games do that. But that being said, it's still a free game for the most part. I think there is a paid aspect to it with a paid player versus like a computer mode coming. But we're not sure if that's going to be paid when it does come out or if it's free to everybody. And it's not pay to win, which is good and refreshing to hear as well. So you do get cosmetics that you can purchase with V-Bucks. That's another term you need to know. V-Bucks. So when your son or daughter comes to you, "Dad, I want more V-Bucks," you have to realize that costs real money or, you know, somehow earned in game. But those buy just cosmetics only. It's not giving you leverage over other players. It's very much still everybody goes to the same battlefield to get, you know, different spawning weapons and stuff. So it keeps it equal that way too, which is nice to kind of have in a game like this.
So roughly translate to $1 is 100 V-Bucks. and let's say a skin would run you 500 V-Bucks.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, a skin's going to cost you. I kind of dislike when free-to-play games do this, where it's just like, look, just have it cost a dollar. don't make me do the math.
Like, I know.
If anything, maybe that's a good point for your kid. Have them constantly doing math in their head. As far as like, okay, how many actual dollars is this? Oh no, division.
See, we're working in math. This is perfect. It's a learning educational game along with other game mechanics you have to learn. So
now, one of the more interesting things that they have is called the Battle Pass. And this was pretty confusing to me at first, but eventually came to understand it. So in game, there's a lot of milestones and achievements. So kill 3 people with a pistol, out-survive 100 people. You know, be in game for 20, whatever the particular milestones are. You get those for just downloading the game being free, and you level up. You can win some V-Bucks, very little. The most I saw was 100 V-Bucks.
Oh.
However, with the...
like a dollar worth. You're saying I want a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you'd have to do a lot of gaming to possibly get anything reasonable. However, with the Battle Pass, there's an entirely different progression system. So this is the Battle Pass lasts for one season. A season runs for anything. It doesn't seem to be really a mathematical date for how it runs, as in it's always going to be 2 months, always 4 months, but roughly 2 to 4 months. You purchase this pass for this season. This unlocks all these other achievements. So as you've been playing, you can, instead of just like the two, like the sniper and the number of hours, let's say, there's also play 15 matches, get into 6 squads. There's so many more ways to achieve and receive bonuses, including special season-only skins, more V-Bucks, more experience bonuses to level up.
Okay.
So ultimately, the only thing the Battle Pass is doing is, well, firstly, it does reward you immediately with some skins for the season.
Okay, that's kind of worth it. Yeah,
alone on its own. And then the ability to win other skins and emotes and experiences and everything else.
Right.
Curiously, what's interesting, and again, this is, you'll see kind of a constant thread through this conversation where these devs are really doing this pretty well, given how everything's going. But if you are going free to play and you're achieving some of these milestones without actually having the battle pass, if you decide to pony up and purchase a battle pass,
okay,
you keep them. You keep all of your milestones.
Oh, neat. Yeah.
So let's say there's a sniper one. So kill 10 people with a sniper. But that's only if you have the battle pass. You go the whole season without buying it. Towards the end, you're like, you know what? I have killed that many. I want to get that. You buy the battle pass, you get it. They just give it to you, right? How they've structured that is very nice and very thoughtful towards the players, which is wonderful.
Again, along that same line of being thoughtful to players, crossplay is basically on every single device, which is a big plus. Not many games do that. Mm-hmm. So whether you're on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, iOS, iPad, whatever, all that stuff is crossplay compatible, and your account is linked through that. So if you earn something on your iPad and a skin that you log into your PS4, it's going to be there for you, ready to use. So that kind of crossplay stuff is neat to have. And again, if you're going to spend money, you might as well have it come across every device, right?
Yeah, and it's important to note, though, so that when we say crossplay in this case, it's not Xbox people are playing against PlayStation.
No.
It's crossplay in that your one true account, the one that you unlocked all these skins on with PlayStation, that account will take those skins onto mobile, onto PC, onto Xbox, anything else.
Yeah.
There is some things in the work as far as PlayStation against PC, etc. But yeah, it's just your account continues.
Well, which is good. And speaking of Xbox and PlayStation, we all know that if we have an Xbox, we might need Xbox Gold to play this thing. And you do need Xbox Gold to play Fortnite online, which can set you back some money if you don't have Xbox Live going. For PlayStation, though, you don't need PlayStation Plus, which is an odd choice. I'm not sure why one over the other, but that's how it rolls. So even on PlayStation, it's a little bit more free, I guess. Like if you can just play this game and not have...
It's more free.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like there's no added cost with the console. So even that is kind of a nice to have going as well. Like they're not trying to ding you for everything to get into this game.
I purchased my PS4 solely for playing Fortnite. It's entirely free.
There's those people out there for sure.
I can imagine. But to go off topic for an important part of the show, it should go without saying that Fortnite is a hard game to play. But then again, being a father is hard.
It's true.
But some make both these things seem so easy. And in the case of fatherhood, they win Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. So this week's Gaming Dad victory goes to Benjamin Hernandez. He posted this fantastic photo with the title, "My wife told me I didn't need more than one monitor. My daughter and I beg to differ." And Jeff, if you could give us the rundown of what we're looking at.
This photo has two monitors in it. And one has XCOM 2 playing and his daughter watching a kid's cartoon show on another monitor. And this is a great setup on something that you can participate and be with your child with while still maintaining the gaming aspect. So it looks like we've got the attention of both dad and daughter, which is nice to see. And it's also nice to see that I don't quite recognize the show, so I might be out of this children's programming, which is great. So,
well, that is family-friendly programming called Daniel Tiger.
You know it.
Always a happy one, very emotional based. But how ingenious is this? Set up on the computer, kids looking off to one side, entertained with their show. You're playing your game. And the good thing, too, is that that's still, it's togetherness. Especially she's on your lap. You're able to kind of talk and joke about the show. Yeah. You're getting your precious gaming moments. You're getting time with your kid. Well, and hopefully the gaze starts to go towards the game eventually. Yeah.
It's much better than what I did. I just sat the kid on my lap and played the game with the controller like in front of him. And there's actually a picture that I should put up of just my kid crying because he didn't want to watch the game that I was playing. So this is a good setup. This is something that I should have gone back in time and put into play.
No, absolutely. So the two monitors, definitely the good idea in this case. Now, as if this gaming dad wasn't deserving enough, we always like to try to give a call out or a shout out to anything that the Gaming Dad would like to promote. And here's what the Gaming Dad came back to us with. Let's shout out Limbs for Life, which is an awesome charity that provides amputees who can't afford prosthesis with the equipment they need. I'm not an amputee, nor is anyone I know, but I'm passionate about it. How fantastic is that?
That's a good cause.
Big ups to the Gaming Dad for a really selfless shout out of that. The Gaming Dads 100% support that. If anybody listening to the show can check out their website, which we'll link to in the show notes, please consider a donation. This sounds like a organization that's doing some fantastic work. And, you know, again, I think it just goes to show that gaming dads are some of the best dads, really.
That's right.
So congratulations to our Gaming Dad victory winner, Benjamin Hernandez, with his incredible two-monitor setup, a beacon of light for the rest of us. You have won Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. If you would like to be nominated for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week, please reach out to us with your story at our website at newdadgaming.com.
And as part of New Dad Gaming, each week we go over the week's highlights and what happened in the world of gaming. For those dads that remember it, Leisure Suit Larry is making a comeback. The gaming landscape has changed quite a bit over the years, so it might be difficult for Larry to find his place in modern times, touting such lines as the hashtag MeToo, Instacrap, and Timber, the clickable adventure will be sure to roll eyes when it launches on Steam late 2018. Battlefield 5 was announced and teased with the trailer this week, showing that the shooter is once again taking place in World War II and features more squad-based combat. And to quell fears a bit, DICE and EA have announced that there will be absolutely no loot boxes within this game. In fact, they are doing away with all premium items, so all DLC maps and releases will be free, and all unlocks will be gameplay earned with only cosmetics and having no effect on gameplay. That's a much-needed breath of fresh air for EA, but a lot can happen between now and its slated launch this October. Overwatch will be getting Legolized. Activision and Blizzard have signed a deal with LEGO to get a full character and possible environmental sets available to build in physical LEGO blocks. They also signed a deal with Nerf, so kids can frantically shoot each other Overwatch-style out in the backyard. Details are a bit scarce right now, but we'll have more as info becomes available. And it's been 20 years since the original Unreal launched way back in 1998. If you don't feel old yet, you can jump back into Unreal for free as Epic Games is celebrating its first 3D game by giving it away for free on both Steam and GOG. Graphics are obviously dated, but the entire game scales and runs perfectly on modern hardware. So if your kids are old enough, you can always give them a history lesson on where this Fortnite company got its roots. And is it the beginning for the end of PS4? Well, the CEO of PlayStation seems to think so. John Cadera has been quoted as saying that the PS4 is in its final life cycle, but maintains that there's no new hardware announcement anytime soon, and they are committed to growing the PS4 until at least the end of the fiscal year. The PS4 is officially 5 years old this November, and past consoles like the PS3 and PS2 lasted 10 and 13 years respectively before it was game over. So we can only hope that there's more juice in the current console, especially with the addition of PSVR. And speaking of PSVR, Sony has listened to your gaming cries. For any PSVR owner that has played Playroom VR, they'll recall a cute little game called Robot Rescue that was only one level, but basically set the bar for VR platformers, showcasing unique game mechanics while still remaining fun and exciting both on and off screen. Well, Astrobot Rescue Mission has been announced, and it is a spin-off of that demo, but in full game form. Astrobot will feature over 20 levels and 26 challenges with boss battles and a bunch of other surprises and worlds to explore. We hope to hear more at E3 for a release date and full list of features. For new game releases this week, we have Dark Souls Remastered, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, PS exclusives Detroit Become Human, H1Z1, Xbox exclusive State of Decay 2, and Nintendo launched a bunch of Mega Man Legacy Collections and M++ Ultimate Edition. That's it for the gaming news this week. Catch a nap and tune in next time for another update.
So Leisure Suit Larry. Like, I remember when I first played it.
Yeah.
And I was too young to be playing it.
That's right.
And now that scourge has come back karma-like to haunt us gaming dads.
Yeah. Right?
Except I'd like to think that we're a little more savvy. What you playing there, son? No.
You can't play that. Yeah. I remember playing that too when I wasn't supposed to. And it was kind of like a, oh, look at this. And it was all very cartoony. Yeah. I'm not sure what it'll do now.
Otherwise, the PSVR robot, what was the name of the robot one exactly?
It was Robot Rescue. It was the demo, and now it's called Astrobot, which is the full game.
That is so cool. I think anyone who owns a PSVR and played that demo thought to themselves, this would make a fantastic full game.
Yeah, I agree.
That's so cool. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, and it's a good father-son game or father-daughter game as well. So
that is a great point, because it had some really great co-op where person's screen is running around, the other person could pick up the controller, look at the normal screen, and be able to participate. Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't it was very cartoony, it wasn't very violent, so it was something else to kind of play together.
That's fantastic. Now playing it with the violence, a question back on the topic at hand for you.
Yes.
Is Fortnite violent?
So having a son that's 8 that scene of Infinity War.
Yeah.
Fortnite, in my opinion, is not too violent. Again, I think it goes down to gore and blood. And Fortnite doesn't have it in the Battle Royale mode, at least. I'm not sure about the other mode, but I don't think it does. Very cartoony, very Bugs Bunny-like. So if you don't really want that exposure to your kid, then I would say stay away from it. But otherwise, I don't think it's too violent for somebody a little bit younger to play, especially when everybody else is kind of playing it, as long as you vet it. So I think if you're comfortable playing it and you understand it, then you can kind of give your kids the okay. But I don't think it's too violent for my 8-year-old to play necessarily.
Yeah, there's guns. There's obviously guns in it. But the aesthetic does a lot to tamper that down. Like, they might as well be super soakers ways. I mean, it's given away a bit away, with, especially with something like a sniper rifle, where it's like that's very specific. But with the aesthetics of everything, like, it's so dulled to be, you know, again, the cartoon or something you'd find on the Cartoon Network or Disney Channel, even with the type of violence that it shows. It's rated 12 plus in Europe, but that's always on the bit more of the conservative side. So I think, and ultimately, from a dad perspective, it's very much about sitting down, playing it with the kid, and kind of gauging how you feel about it. If we're in a stage where some parents are okay with their kids playing Call of Duty and such at 10 and 12. So of those games, like in many ways too, like I had even made a recommendation to a gaming dad who had asked for, you know, my kid is really good at gaming shooters and such. Like, what could I get? And it's like, you know, Fortnite, it's all about that. But, you know, it's cartoony, it's a lot more fun, it's free, like it's, you know, about jumping around, so that could be a good one, but which isn't, I still stand by that. So obviously be informed, but I don't think we're looking at something hyper violent that dad should worry about.
You know, every kid is different, so again, vet it and then see if it's okay.
Now, worse than violence though, because I think, you know, we're informed gaming dads, like we aren't going to be shocked by media headlines about it, but the more pertinent one is, it risky for my kid to play? Now, as far as like addictive practices, as far as predatory practices from the gaming dev, like with your experience with it, Jeff, do you think it's a risky game for kids to be exposed to?
I can see how it can become disruptive to routines. So if your kid is playing, you know, just one more game, and they're not doing the chores or their homework or what you've kind of set them out to do, I think that is a risk with any game. I think in terms of Fortnite, if you set boundaries and they abide by those boundaries, it can be okay. The in-app purchases, I would say you lock out. Again, the V-Bucks and linking your credit card to it is probably not a good idea in any dad gaming world. So that I could see them, at least if you know about it, you might hear that they are frustrated that they're not looking like their other friends because they've bought something that they don't have. So just prepare yourself for that conversation. But I would say that the worst part of Fortnite, I guess, would be the online chat because it's so unpredictable. You're dealing with other kids, adults, teenagers. So a whole slew of different vocabularies out there that you might want to limit or turn off completely, which can limit the game a little bit if you're on a squad or something, but better safe than sorry in some of that.
Yeah, so I will say that I was a little bit surprised because I had gotten into a couple squads just to try out that thing. And I was definitely the odd man out. A few of these people definitely seemed to know each other. And it was surprisingly kind. Like people, their conversation was kind of level, not a lot of swear words or cursing or nonsense like that. One guy was actually being pretty helpful. It was kind of funny because it was definitely a super young kid.
Yeah.
Like this guy had to be 10 or 12. He's like, make sure you jump so you don't get sniped. I'm like, that's great advice, little kid. Thank you.
You're actually taking it too. You're like, that is great advice.
That kid's way better than me, I guarantee it. But I think that's the thing to remember though, is that like in that case, here's me, 34 years old with however old that kid was.
Right.
And you got to think about your kid
connecting
to adults, possibly, and what that might entail. And be truthful, like ultimately it's best when you're on a squad to be communicating with people because like you really need to know what each other's doing.
Yeah.
But maybe they could play solo instead. It's just, again, this game is really about awareness and experience so you can make those informed decisions.
Right.
But generally speaking, seems like it's pretty tame. But always, exactly like you said, it's just exposing to the risk of what online chat with strangers could mean. I think for myself, like what really becomes the most concerning is this is a free-to-play game.
Yeah.
Which ultimately means you're the product. And everything about this game is utterly fine-tuned to get you to play more.
Yeah.
Right? Like this is about... I don't want to make it sound like they're too nefarious, but like they're trying to get everybody hooked and want to play more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
And this game is every part about the achievements and the unlocks and the skins and everything about it is built so you will play more. And your kid will have a little bit less defenses for this. And I think in many ways that might be on par with the dangers that like online chat can entail.
Yeah,
because if you're not careful and if you don't set expectations and understanding with your kid going in, like I think they get hooked in a very bad way where, like you said, they might start missing homework, they might start causing fights, not wanting to play, etc.
Right, and then, you know, maybe you do, you know, wean your kid off and then he's going to go to school and all his other friends are going to be, you know, experiencing.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem with the game evolving so much too. Like, I know we had a positive in the beginning, but it's... You know, they're always adding new things. And, you know, if you miss a week of this game, you've missed out on all these changes where those kids are going to be talking about it. So you just have to kind of prepare yourself for that conversation too, right? We want to manage, like you said, manage your expectations of this. Know that it can be addictive in nature. And it's the cards are stacked against you in a way. And again, maybe you need to be with your kid, play this game, and just see what it's all about and how your child reacts, because everybody's a little bit different and they've had different, you know, gaming experiences. So we can't broad stroke this, but it's a different phenomenon. And I think a lot of people have viewed this as a phenomenon, the way it's kind of taken over the world this way.
I'll say this too, like, be cool, dads.
Yeah.
Like, look, like, and specifically, like, you know what it was like when your mom tried to get you to leave the game and you hadn't saved yet. You had to get to that save point.
Oh yeah, countless times.
Like, look, understand what this game is like as far as, like, if your kid is four, like there's only four people left out of 100, Like, let him finish the game.
Yeah.
Man, like, come on, Dad, be cool. You were there once.
That's right. Like,
again, it's like, I think it all comes back down to that experience and understanding, because, okay, son, like, let's go. No, I'm in the match. I'm, like, in the top 20s. Know what that means.
It's, yeah.
Well, I was thinking about it, too. Like, it kind of gets interesting. Like, you can play for an hour, and then they get towards the end of the hour, but then they're having a really great match. Or, you know, it's about setting that time as opposed to, okay, play four times.
Right.
You know, you can have four matches.
Yeah.
Because you could have four garbage matches, and you're done immediately. Like, that's not going to be satisfying. That'd piss off anybody.
Yeah.
So I think if you have that kind of understanding of how this game works, you're going to be able to better set the boundaries and be able to work with them if you decide to let them play. In many ways, this comes to, should you let your child play Fortnite? If you Google right now and you enter, should my child, the first thing Google suggests is play Fortnite. It's not, should my child play basketball? Should my child be eating candy at night? It's, should my child play Fortnite? So this is on top of mind. And I guess in many ways I'd pitch it to you, Jeff, because you have a kid in Fortnite age. So what is that discussion looking like in your household?
Well, I'll tell you right now, they play Fortnite at recess on the playground as part of like a physical active game, not playing it on mobile phones or anything. So his friends know about this game, and at least a couple of them have played it. Him going 7, 8 years old, I've allowed him to see it. I don't think his skill set's even close to what this game can do. Like,
you can't handle this.
You can't handle this. Look at your movement. This sucks. But I've let him watch it. I've let him experience it. Again, I've taken him to Infinity War, so he understands that.
That's your barometer from now on.
Basically is. He's also played Battlefront, which is probably a little bit more violent than I would say Fortnite is. Again, it's blasters and stuff. But again, I might have him do a game. I don't think I would definitely be there with him in any sort of internet chatter. If I have that turned on, but I don't mind him playing it. I think it's something that he can experience. If it's too much for him, I pull it back. Like, I'm not going, I'm going to set those boundaries. And if he goes past those boundaries or fails to kind of go against, or if he goes against me of what I've instructed him to do, then, you know, that game goes out the window. Again, I'm not going to link my credit card or anything, and he's not going to go and complain about, if he starts complaining about cosmetics, you know, we're having a different conversation. We're having this whole other, this is, okay, this game is offline then, you can't do it. So I think I'm going to let him test it out and just see where that goes. Again, my recommendation is other parents, you just kind of sit down with your kid and know what they can handle, basically, so.
Yeah, and be ready, because it's coming. I mean, like, the media attention, and we're obviously seeing it. I mean, anybody who's anyone on YouTube, and specifically some of the ones who target kind of a younger audience, they're all over this game.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the massive cultural shift at the moment. So, like, it's not so much about just hoping it's not going to happen. Like, you're going to have, if your kid has any interest in gaming, you'll have the Fortnite conversation.
Yes.
So if it's, you know.
It used to be birds and the bees. Now it's the Fortnite conversation before bed. You know, it's just,
listen,
son.
Son, have you been participating in any royales that are battles? No, Dad, I swear. What is this backpack? Why can't you do drugs like the other kids? Yeah. Why?
Where'd you get that cosmetic, eh? Where'd you get it?
Yeah, how did you, what credit card are you using, son?
Yeah.
So, and you know, the friends, somebody's dad's going to let them play it, which is the ultimate situation for anything in life, frankly. Like, anything in life that you don't want your kids to do,
yes,
they have a buddy who's doing it.
Yeah, and again, like, from my experiences, you have a kid go over to some other friend's house, you don't know exactly what they're playing, and most likely they're probably playing this game. So even just exposing your kid that has that ability to go somewhere else where you can't control the gaming environment, you might just won't even have that conversation about, this is a really popular game. If they're out there playing video games at somebody else's house, this is probably the game of choice for that crowd. So
yeah. So it's, I'll circle around, kind of like to just put on a cap and I'll ask you, Jeff, to kind of do the same thing for your thoughts, but be aware of what this game is, understand how it works, the mechanics of it, because I think that's important. Be very cognizant of the risks as far as the potential addictive nature of it, given how this game is structured, given the fact that you do or you can interact with people online.
Yeah.
Know how it works so that if you're having conversations with them, it's not just, I don't want you to do this, and you have no concept of how it actually works. And look at your house, look at your kid, and yeah, make your decisions. Wonder how, if any other anything you could add to that, Jeff, to cap it off.
Well, I'll echo all that, but I will give advice to gaming dads and just say, keep up on this game. Again, it's ever evolving. You don't know what they're going to stick in the next patch. So this is one to keep on top of too. It's not like other games where it is patched once or twice and it's done. This is constantly going, evolving. So you just have to kind of keep your eye on it just to see what else is out there.
Kind of throw maybe one last positive too. I think if your kid is of a temperament that you think he's ready to play this, he or she is ready to play this game, I think there's some pretty sweet opportunities to play it together.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an absolute blast when you do play it with somebody, and the thought that you could be kind of sitting with your kid playing this game, trying to survive this thing together for a few matches, I think there's some potential actually for some really fun parent-child interaction.
Yeah, I hear two monitors or two TVs, maybe two PS4s in that conversation. So thank you.
Darling, look, like we got to participate in this cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, that's right. Prepare our equipment.
You know, and ideally, if they release it for the Switch, then
there you go.
All the more reason to buy a Nintendo Switch, everybody.
Yes.
We did it, dads. We did it. With that, we'll wrap it up. As I said, everybody, thanks for sticking this one out. We wanted to, a little bit off format for how we usually have this podcast, but it's... In many ways, it is just, as a gaming dad, this topic is unavoidable, and we wanted to try to load up everybody with as much information as possible to get into it. So don't fear, dive in it and make the right choices. It'll not take but a fortnight.
There's the dad joke in there, folks. That was free. You didn't have V-Bucks for that.
Yeah, if you want to remove it, it costs V-Bucks. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com, as well as our Facebook group and on Twitter. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, and any Stitcher, and any other podcasting service. We'd love to hear from you with show ideas, questions, anything else. We'd really appreciate a like, a subscription, and a pass along to any dad who games. I'll also mention again that we are running our competition currently. Well, rather competition. We're running a giveaway for 4 dad-like games. If you go to our website at newdadgaming.com, you'll see a place to enter the competition. We'll be giving things away in June 12th. So only a couple weeks to get in on it to celebrate us reaching 100 episodes.
Yay.
So we'd really appreciate a subscription there. And until next time, my name is Trevor, and I have an almost 3-year-old and an 8-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Fortnite. I nailed it. Fortnite. I nailed it.
Fortnite.
I
did it. You did.
See you next week.
See you.